So we got to the bottom, the very last line of Samach Aleph from the Beis, and then we're trying to figure out what the machlokes between Chista and Rabba was. They're arguing about a case where they shechted it, they shechted the Karban Pesach for the Shechita, and the Achila was for the purpose of the Mula and those who had a Bris Mila, but they also had in mind that the Zrika and the Kapara should be for the Arelu, the ones who didn't have a Bris Mila. And the question was, Rav Chista said that's possible. It's possible. And then Rabba said, no, that's kosher. And the Gemara went on to bring different sources, sukkim, as to the source of Rav Chista versus Rabba. And the Gemara wasn't satisfied with those sources. They want to know what exactly are they arguing about Rabba and Rav Chista, whether now in such a case, again, of Shachtu Lemulin, Al Menashe Iskapru Bo Arilim, whether that's going to be kosher or possible. So the Gemara, the very last line in Tzamech Alef and Beis, says, Ela Amar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi suggests as follows. He just asked the question, and he suggests this is the answer. Rav Chista V'Rabba V'Hai Krach Mifkli. They are arguing about the following pasuk. The pasuk says, V'Nirtza Lo L'Chaper Alav. And the Karban Pesach should be an atonement for them, for Alav, on him. What does it mean, Alav, on him? Alav V'Lo Al Chaver. Only if you have intentions for the Baal, the one gang Kapara, will it be a good Karban. But if you have intentions for Chavero, that's going to disqualify the Karban. So who's Chavero? Who's the type of Chavero that if you have Kavana for a Chavero, it's going to disqualify the Pesach? So Rabbi Savar, Chavero, Dum Yodidei, has to be a Chavero that's similar to the Baal in order for it to be possible. Meaning, Mahu Debar Kapara, just like the Baal, the person who's bringing the Karban, is someone who's subject to bring Kapara. Av Chavero Debar Kapara. So too, in order for it to be possible, has to have in mind for a chavero who's also subject to kapara. La fuke, come to exclude. Hai arel de la bar kaparu. The arel is not subject to a kapara because he is completely disqualified from eating the Karban Pesach. So only someone who is subject to kapara can disqualify the Karban. But an arel who's not subject to kapara, if you think about him, it's like thinking about a monkey or a dog. If you have intentions for a monkey or dog, they're not going to have any relevance, any effect in the Karban, because they're completely out of the picture. So to the Arel, in this case, since he's completely excluded from a Karban Pesach, you had Kavana for the Arel should get Kapara in the Karban, it won't affect anything. It's only someone who could, in theory, be part of the Karban. If Chaver, a Chaver who is a Bar Kapara, if you have him in mind instead of the Baal, that's going to disqualify. And that's what Rabbi thinks. If you had in mind that the Arel should get Kapara for the Karban Pesach, it won't affect the Karban. It's a good Karban. Rav Chista Savar, Hai Arel Nami. The Arel also, Kaven de Bar Chiyuvahu. The Arel is chayiv to bring a Karban Pesach. He's obligated. He lemaisa, he can't because he's an Arel, but he still has a chayiv to do it. So who's a bar kaparo? He's therefore considered a bar kaparo. He is subject to the kapar of Karban Pesach. Why? Even though right now he cannot bring it, hold the boy miskanafshe. Since he could easily fix himself, he could go and get a bris mila. By him getting a bris mila, he'll then become someone who is subject to bar kaparo. So Chizkiah says, Hoil, even though right now he is not subject to bar kaparo, Hoil is in his hands to fix himself to get a bris mila, he's considered a bar kapara. And therefore, Rav Chista says, if you have in mind when you're bringing the shechita, you have in mind that the zrika and the kapara should be for the arelim, it's going to disqualify the Karban Pesach because the arel is considered within the realm of Karban Pesach. Now, the Achronim ask the following question. We said among the individuals who cannot take part in the Karban Pesach, we said among Arel is also a chola. A chola can't eat enough, so a chola cannot be part of the Karban Pesach. A chola. Somebody who's sick who cannot eat a kezias, or a zakan, someone who's too old to eat too much. So they also are not included in Karban Pesach. Meaning, if you have a guest list of just people who are sick or people who are old in a nursing home, if that's the entire guest list of the Karban Pesach, it won't be a good Karban Pesach because you have to have somebody who's at least able to eat a kezias. So now they want to, let's say you have in mind to the shechita for people who could eat it, but you have in mind the zrik and kapar should be for a chola or for a zakin who are not able to eat the Karban Pesach. I mean, they're not able to be the only ones on the guest list. So the Rav Chaim writes that everybody agrees that it's not going to, they will not disqualify, it will not be possible, because the Maisa, they are, see, maybe I'm getting confused here for a second. Right, Chaim says, since they cannot fix themselves, a chola can make himself better on his own, a zaken can make himself better on his own, since it's not hoil, even Rabba everyone will agree in this case that it's going to be possible. No, I'm sorry, everyone will agree it won't be possible. I'm sorry. It's only when there's potential to fix yourself. If there's a hoel, will Rav Chista say it's possible? Like, again, the Ariel is able to fix himself, so therefore we view him as now as almost being a kosher individual. So therefore now he will be possible if you have in mind for somebody who shouldn't be here. When it comes to Chol and Zakin who cannot fix himself, that's not going to be considered possible. And the Tzlach argues and says no. Since this person is not usher, he's allowed to eat. Ariel is not allowed to eat the Karim Pesach. So therefore, if you have in mind, he's going to disqualify the Karim Pesach. When it comes to the Zakin and Chola, he's allowed to eat he just can't eat the Kazayas, but he's allowed to take part in the Chola, therefore, in the Karim Pesach, therefore it's different. Fine. Says the Gemara, now that we've established that Rav Chista says Hoyel, that since he could fix himself, since the Ariel could fix himself, he's considered a Bar Kapara. So it asks the Gemara, Umi isle Rav Chista Hoyel? Does Rav Chista hold to the concept of Hoyel? If you remember a few blot earlier, almost 15 blot earlier, the Ha Itmar, we have the following statement. Ha'ofi b'yomtiv l'chol, somebody who cooks yomtiv for the very next day, which is a weekday. Rav Chista Amar Loke, Rabba Amar Ein Loke. What's the machloke? Same people, same Rabba Rav Chista, what are they arguing about? Rabba Amar Ein Loke. You don't get Malkos. Amrinan Hol, we apply the concept of Hoyel. V'i Miklay Le'orchim. So if he's cooking on Yom Tov, and it's very possible guests might walk into his house, so since that's a possibility of Hoyel, Hashanami. Now also, even though right now there are no guests, but still we could say Chazalei V'lolaki. Therefore, his cooking on Yom Tov, even though his machshavos are for the next day, it's from Yom Tov to Chol, which is Aser, but since there's the possibility of Orchim walking in, we say Hoyel, we're allowed to, he doesn't get Malkos. Rav Chista Amar Loki, you get Malkos, lo Amrina Hol. We do not say Hol. We look at the now. Right now, there are no guests. We don't say Hol. So, Bishma, so what's the difference? Why in this case is Rav Chista in the case of Yantif, says we don't say Hol? But in the case of the Ariel, we do say Hol. We say the Ariel, since he's able to fix himself, the Ariel is considered Bar Kapara. And if you have in mind the Ariel, when you shouldn't be having in mind the Ariel, it's going to disqualify Karim Pesach. Why there does Rav Chista say Hol, but the case of Yantif, he doesn't? And Rabba the same thing. Rabba in the case of Yantiv does say Hoyel, but in the case of the Ariel he does not say Hoyel. So why are they switching? Gemara says, Bishlama, the Rabba ad the Rabba against himself, Lokasha, that's not a stira. Hochab mechusar maisa, hasar lo mechusar maisa. In the case of the Ariel, you're lacking a maisa. You have to perform the bris milah. That's a maisa. If there's a maisa lacking, we can't view Hoyel. Hoyel is not a relevant, it's not a potential we could think of if there's a maisa that's in the way. But by the Orchim, Orchim's not considered a Maisa. Then Rashi explains. Rashi doesn't explain, but guests coming is not considered a Maisa. They come or they don't show up. That's not a Maisa on your part. And therefore, since the guest coming is not considered a Maisa, Rabba could say Hoyel in the case of the guests. But in the case of the Ariel, where it requires a Maisa, we can't say the Hoyel. We can't view this potential as happening right now. So that explains Rabba. El Dorv Chista, Dorv Chista, Kasha. Why one case does Rav Chista say Hoyel? In the case of Ariel, he says Hoyel, but in the case of Yantav, he doesn't. So Gemara explains, Amri, they say as follows. Ki leslei de Rav Chista Hoyel, lekula. When does Rav Chista not hold of a Hoyel? When it's a kula. When Hoyel is going to be a kula. So in other words, in the case of Yantav, Hoyel is a kula. Hoyel, Rabba says you could apply Hoyel, and therefore avoid getting Malkos. That Hoyel is used for a kula. There, Rav Chista doesn't say use Hoyel as a kula. But l'chumra isla, if Hoel will result in a chumra, in other words, the case of the Ariel, you say the Ariel, since Hoel, he's able to fix himself, and therefore the Ariel, there, if you include the Ariel, it's going to disqualify the Karim Pesach, that's a chumra, that's the application of a chumra, so that then Rav Chista will hold of Hoel. So in the end of the day, what comes out is Rav Chista really does not hold of Hoel. Hoel is not a relevant application, but when it results in a chumra, he's willing to say midir abanan, we could view Hoel as relevant.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about the concept of Hoel, that is, since something will happen, could you view it as happening right now? Since guests might come on Yantif, we view them as coming right now. It's like cook on Yantif. I'm cooking for tomorrow, which you're not allowed to cook Yantif to Chol. But since there's a possibility, guests might come in, so I'm cooking for somebody actually now on Yantif. He may walk in. Do you view that potential as right now as allowing me to do something? I don't know if a guest is going to come in, but he might come in my house.
But you can allow, you're allowed to cook on your turf.
Only for a purpose, though. But I can't cook for the next day.
No, for the same day.
Right, so I'm cooking for tomorrow. So I get malchus for that. No, Rabbi says, but maybe a guest is going to walk in today on Yontif. So it turns out you're actually cooking for Yontif, so you don't get malchus. That's a question whether you could say that potential hoil, somebody could walk in. So right now, you know, you're allowed to do that. Says the Gemara now. The Gemara is going to analyze the Brice that we spoke of yesterday on Amud Beis. The Brice that we wanted to know that, let's say, if Miksas Orla, if some of the people on the guest list were Arelim, if that's going to disqualify the entire Bnei Chabur. And the Gemara wanted to say, maybe you should learn from Tuma, maybe you should learn from Zman, that was going back and forth. The Gemara is going to break down this Brice now. So let's see how the Gemara does this. Amr Le Mar Zutra Braid Rav Meri Leravina. They said the following. Katani, it says in the Brisa from yesterday, Hoil the Arla Poselas, Vituma Poselas, just like an Ariel cannot eat the Karban Pesach, and so too someone whose Tame cannot either. Matuma lo asaba miktastuma, kecholtuma. Just like when it comes to Tame, if only some of the people are Tame, it will not make everybody else Tame as well on the guest list. Af Arla lo asa miktas Arla kechol Arla. So too, if you have one person on the guest list who is an Ariel, he will not make everybody else on the guest list Arel. Only himself is possible. He can't make everybody else possible. So Mar wants to understand, Hai Tuma Heichi Dami. Which Tuma are we talking about? We said that there's a Tame case. What's the Tame case that we're saying doesn't make everyone Kukulo Tame? Heichi Dami. I Lema Batumas Gavre. If it's talking about where the individuals are Tame, my Lo Asaba Mixes Tuma. What does it mean that if some of the individuals are Tame, not everyone will become Tame? Again, my Lo Asaba Mixes Tuma Kichol Tuma. Let's say you have four or five people on the guest list who are Tame. And then on the guest list you have four or five people who are actually Tar. The people who are Tame on the guest list will not make the people who are Tar on the guest list Tame as well. If that's the case, so then Gavi Arla also, Nami Holopasli. We have the same thing in regards to Arla that the Tanan, the Mishnah tells us, Lamulin Ula Relim. You have a guest list. Some of the people on the guest list are Mulin. Some of the people on the guest list are Arelim. Kasher. The Mishnah explicitly says Kasher as well. And if that's the case, Maishna Tuma de Pshitale, why was the Gemara, why the Brice assume, why is it so posher that when it came to Tuma, that the people who are Tame will not make the people Tahor, Tame, why was that so obvious? Maishna Arla de Misafkala. And when it came to Arla, where only some of them are Arelim and some of them were not, why was that a doubt? Meaning, if the Tuma they're talking about are people themselves are Tame, why do we have to learn from people Tame to teach me that people are Ariel are also the same halacha applies? Both of them are just as obvious.
What kind of Tuma?
Sheretz, Tumas Mace, any type of Tuma. So therefore the Gemara says, not true. Ela but Tumas Basar, we're talking about Tumas Basar, not where the people are Tame, but where the Karban Pesach is Tame. When the Karban Pesach becomes Tame. And what's the limit? What are we learning from? What does it mean that they didn't make, if part of the basar becomes tame, not the entire basar does not become tame as well? Let's say one of the limbs of the Karban Pesach became tame. We burn that particular aver. The rest of the basar we do not burn. So Gemara's the Brisa says as follows. Just like when it comes to Tumas Basar, when the Karban Pesach, when one limb becomes Tame, we don't say the entire meat becomes Tame. So too, when it comes to the Arel, when the person becomes an Arel, we only say that person who's Arel is disqualified from the Karban Pesach, but not everybody else is disqualified as well.
But you cannot bring a Korban with a Mum.
Correct.
So what do you mean by one limb is Tame?
So let's say you already shechted, everything was okay, the animal was tahor, and then after it became shechted, somehow one of the arms became tameh. So you don't say the entire behemoth is thrown out the window. That arm is burnt, the rest of the animal is still okay.
So we're saying,
Mixus is not kakula in this context, right. And we're saying, but we're referring to the tumas basar, where the meat becomes tameh. We don't say the entire meat becomes Tame, only part of it does. Same thing when it comes to the Arel, the guest list now, if there's just one Arel, even a few Arelim on the list, it does not make the rest cool Arelim as well.
Okay.
All right, so the first part of the Brice is talking about Tumas Basar. Now the Gemara says, B'mayo kimta b'tumas basar. Why did we say that Brice, again, we're referring to the Brice from yesterday, why is that Brice about Tumas Basar? Ema Seifa, look at the Seifa. The very next line of the Brice says as follows. Danin davar she'enu nog b'chol azvachim, davar she'enu nog b'chol azvachim. We're trying to figure out what's the story with Ariel. If Ariel is on the guest list, will it make everybody else on the guest list tamei or not? So the Braisa said, we should learn something that's not noeg to the other Zvachim, namely Ariel. Ariel is something unique that only applies to Pesach, nothing else. We should learn that from another din, which only applies to Pesach, nothing else, which is tamei. Both Ariel and tamei are unique to Karban Pesach, because an Ariel and tamei can send any carbon, but they cannot bring a Karban Pesach. So they're both psalm that are unique to Karban Pesach. The al yochichu zman shenog b'chol zvachim, and don't try to learn it out from zman, which applies to all carbonos equally. We should learn them that they're similar. Again, Tomei and Ariel are similar in that both of them apply to Karban Pesach only. So Gemara says, what type of tuma are we referring to here? Umay tuma, e name of tumas baser. If the brice is being consistent, and we already established that the ratio is tumas baser. Now, are we going to say this seif is also tumas baser, referring to where the meat became Tomei? Amai inu noeg b'chol zvachim. Why does it not apply? We just said tamei is something that's unique to Karban Pesach. It doesn't apply to other karbanos. If we're referring to tumas baser, it doesn't apply to other karbanos. All zvachim, all karbanos are subject to tumas baser. If the meat becomes tamei, you throw it out. Whatever meat becomes tamei, you burn that part of the meat. So of course it applies to all of the zvachim. So this line of the Braisa cannot be referring to tumas baser. El pshita, it's obvious. Bitumas gavrei, referring to where the person themselves became tamei. Where the person became tamei, he can send other karbanos, but he cannot send Karban Pesach. That's what's unique about the tumas gavrei. It's unique to Karban Pesach. Umay einu nog b'chol zvachim. What does it mean that a tumas gavrei, where the person's tamei, does not apply to other zvachim? Dilu b'chol zvachim, when it came to all other zvachim, Ariel v'tamei meshalchin karbonosayim. A person who's Ariel, a person who's tamei, may send other karbonos. V'yilu b'pesach, Ariel v'tamei ein meshalchin v'pesachim. When it comes to Pesach, an Ariel and tamei may not send the Karban Pesach. So referring here to a tumas of the person, not a tumas of the baser. So the Gemara asks, Reisha b'tumas baser? The Sefer b'tumas gavrei? Doesn't make sense. The beginning of the Braisa we established must be referring to the tumas baser and the meat. And now we're saying it must be referring to the tumah of the person? It's inconsistent. Amalei Gemara says, yes, you're right, it is inconsistent. However, the Gemara asks, shame tumah kaparach. When they asked the question from tumah and zman, they didn't have to be so precise in the what type of tumah, whether it's tumah's gavra, tumah's basar. It was enough to simply ask, in general, this concept of tumah we're asking. Even though, again, the beginning, the reish is tumah's basar, and the sefer is tumah's gavra, we could still ask a kasha from Tumas Gavra to Tumas Shabbasar, because in the realm of Tumah, we see such a difference, such a concept, that in general, Tumah is something unique to Karban Pesach. Ariel and Tumas Gavra are unique to Karban Pesach, different than the rest of the Zvachim.
How do you know that he's Ariel? He's supposed to say?
We trust him, yeah. Either you know, or you say, we don't have to check every single person, but that's
his it's his responsibility,
exactly.
Basically.
Now on this din, there's Rabbeinu Chananel here who says, how do we know that an Ariel and Tameh are allowed to send carbonos in general? How do we know that? What's the source? So Rabbeinu Chananel writes, in mine, I have the bold Ella in the Rabbeinu Chananel. It's almost exactly where the Gemara is. At least in mine, I guess. Ella b'tumas gavre. He writes, Umay einu noheges b'chol zvachim. What does it mean? It's not noeg in the rest of the zvachim. Meaning, the Ariel v'tameh mishalchin carbonosem v'kraven. The lo gari min nachri. So he says as follows, they're no worse than a nachri. The halacha is that a nachri is allowed to send karbanos.
What is a nachri?
A non-Jew. A non-Jew may send, the goy is allowed to send a karbanos. So just like a goy is allowed to send the karbanos, an ariel and a tamei can be no worse than a nachri, and therefore we can accept the karbanos of an ariel and a tamei in general. Karban Pesach is different, especially because it's kosher, but that's in general. That's Rabbeinu Chananel's limud for learning that an Ariel Tamei may send. Other Rishonim bring other sources, but that's enough for now on that.
Today, we're saying goy, we're referring to goy.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Torah language, so what is goy in?
Say in the Torah language.
It says goy. What that refer to in Sfat HaKodesh?
Means
it says
like
goy.
Nation. In the nation. Yeah. So now the Tosos, the bottom Tosos is Ariel. If you look towards the end of it, 1, 2, 3, 4 lines from the bottom. Tosos asks the following question, within this din of the Ariel and the Tamei bring a carbon. The Ode Kashulari, Tamei Eich Mishalach Karbanos. How is a Tamei able to send his Karbanos? V'ha Boi Smicha, you need Smicha. What's Smicha? The din was that when a man brings a carbon, he has to place his hands on the carbon. But a Tameh cannot go in the smicha would take place inside the Azara. Now, Tameh, there's an Issa Deraisa, Tameh is not allowed to enter the Azara, into the base of Mikdash. How is he able, so he sends the carbon, how is he able to perform smicha though? So he goes on further, Raha Bai smicha? V'afilu man damar bias mikdash lo shmei bia. Okay, fine, so there's a concept, there's an opinion out there, that partial entry into the base of Mikdash is not considered entry at all. Let's say I just stick my hands in. The walls here, my hands go into the smicha, my body, the rest of my body is not, so that's only mikses bia, that's not considered bia, that's not issa deraisa, that's allowed. So even according to that opinion, which allows mikses bia, partial entry, lekalemer, you can't apply that here, because efshir demayel yad, v'samich, that maybe you could stick your hand in and do smicha, that doesn't work. The hapa perakol psulim, we learn in the Gemara and Zachim, amrinan kol asomech, anybody does smicha, rosho v'rubo machnis. You have to, your head and most of your body has to enter in the base of Mikdash. My timer, why do you have to have that to be? Because kol kocha ba'inim. You need real, not just like put your hands on, you need to like place your weight on it. Gemara Sukkah talks about that, the Beisila Beishamai. You need your koach. Smicha is not just place your hands, giving your kids a bracha Friday night if you do that. It means like leaning on top of the animal, putting all your weight into it. So that requires your head, most of your body inside the base of Mikdash to perform the smicha. So what's this Tameh going to do? And the Ariel for that matter also, what are they going to do if they can't do smicha? How are they saying karbanos? So the Gemara answers, v'tiritzri, the hachamayri, be'ofos, referring to sending birds. And birds, as karbanos, do not require smicha. V'chein mishani b'cholget, that's what the Gemara says in Gittin. Inami, alternatively. B'chor v'maiser, different types of karbanos. B'chor is the firstborn animal of a behema tohara. Any behema Torah, this firstborn animal, is a bechor, goes to the base of Mikdash. That bechor does not require smicha. Or it's talking about a meiser. Meiser behema is, we have a whole flock of animals. You take meiser behema, every tenth animal you give as meiser behema, that too, delo bai smicha.
What about
Korban Pesach? So Korban Pesach, we said he can't bring it all. We're talking about where he can bring the karbanos that the Ariel and Tameh may bring, but how is he able to perform smicha? Remember we said the rest of all other karbanos. So what are the rest of the kavanos we're referring to? It either refers to ofos or refers to bechor u'maiser.
But all those things don't require smicha. It doesn't really
help. No, that's the point. Meaning, we only allow him to send the carbon when they don't require smicha.
Because otherwise it would be wrong.
Otherwise he can't perform smicha. But things that do require smicha, a gebehema, he would not be allowed to send. Okay. There's Amek Bracha here. Amek Bracha writes, he's raised the Falun Chakira about Rav Pomerantz. He was a Talmud of the Brisker Rav. So there's like long, very skinny, long Sfarim. I imagine they have them here. They have Tarzraim, Amek Bracha, a few others he has. All look the very same. Amek Bracha is on like Moadim. So in the section, Hilchas Chagiga, he has a Falun Chakira. How does Smicha? What's the nature of Smicha? Is Smicha a Chobas Agavra? I have to perform the Smicha? Or Smicha is a din in the Behema? The carbon has to have Smicha done to the Behema. Is it the Chavster or the Gavra? So he says the Nafkamina is as follows. A woman does not have to perform Smicha. In fact, a woman may not perform Smicha. She doesn't do Smicha. So let's say a woman sets aside a carbon. But then she passes away. She dies. And her son is Yorish the Behema. And the son has to carry through with the carbon. So then, what's the din? Is there a requirement of smicha now? When the mother had the animal, there's no requirement of smicha. Now that the son has the animal, maybe there's a requirement of a smicha. So he says as follows. If it's din in the chepsa of the carbon, well, when the carbon was already established as a carbon, it didn't need a smicha from the mother. So even when the son gets it, there's no need for a smicha. But if it's a chovas agavra, so when the mother had it, there's no chovas agavra, a woman or pater. But when the son has hold of it, he is a new gavra now, he's a new baal, he has to perform smicha. So somehow they connected, the one Achram connected to the sugi. I don't remember exactly how they connected to the sugi here. Okay, so back to our Gemara now. Says the Gemara, we're three narrow lines from the bottom. We said there's an inconsistency with the Gemara. The Bryce above, the first part of the Bryce, the Reish was talking about Tumas Basar. Then the Sefer was talking about Tumas Gavra. And the Gemara said, how could it be inconsistent? And the Gemara said, oh, it's okay because they're just asking, generally speaking, shame Tumapar. Even though they're not exactly the same, it's still fine. Now, the Ibai same, the Gemara says, no. Sefer Nami but Tumas Basar. No, the whole Bryce is completely consistent with each other. It's only referring to the realm of Tumas Basar. How are we going to explain Tumas Basar? Didn't we say Tumas Basar? The Bryce said Tuma is something that does not apply to other Karbanos. But Tumas Basar does apply to other Karbanos. Gemara says, Mai Einu Nog B'chol HaZvachim. Dila B'chol HaZvachim. all other karbanos, bein shenit machelev, the animal's broken up into two basic parts. There's that which goes to the people to eat, which is the basar, the flesh, and there's that which goes to the mizbeach, which is the chelev, the fats. The fats, chelev, is also for man to eat, but it's for the mizbeach. So again, when it comes to all other zvachim, bein shenitma chelev, whether the fats become tamei, or basar kaim, but the meat is still tahor, bein shenitma basar, but let's say the basar becomes tamei, v'chelev kaim, the chelev is still kaim tahor, Zorek is adam, you're still allowed to sprinkle blood on top of the mizbeach as long as either the basar is tahor or the chelev is tahor. If both of them are tamei, then it's not allowed. But if one of them are tahor, it's okay. That's the klal regarding other karbanos. However, v'ilu b'pesach, when it comes to the karban pesach, nitma chelev u'basar kaim, if the basar, which is eaten by the baal, is still kaim, still tahor, so then zorek is adam. But if nitma basar, v'chelev kaim, if the basar, all the meat which is supposed to be eaten becomes tamei, but the chelev is tahor still, ein zorek is adam, you do not sprinkle the blood. So we see there's a difference. Again, the idea is as follows. When it comes to Karban Pesach, the Iker intention, the whole point of Karban Pesach is to be eaten. It's all about the Achila. So if there's Basar that's Tahor, you could do Zrikas Dam. If there's no Basar, which is supposed to be eaten, if it's not Tahor, you cannot do Zrikas Dam. It's all about the Achila. When it comes to other Karbanos, both of them are relevant factors. The aspect that goes to the Baal is a relevant factor, and the aspect that goes to the Mizbeach is also relevant. So as long as one of them is still Kayim, whether it's the Basar or the Chelev, as one of them is Kayim, then you can still do Zrikas Adam. So we see there is a difference, even regards to Tumas Basar, regarding Pesach versus other Kabanos, and that's the consistency within the Brisa.
Just a clarification question. On the end there, on the latter part there, it was hearing. So if the meat became Tamei, we're saying Yitma Basar v'chalav kayim, why do we say no Zrikas Adam? Or why do we say there's no Zrikas?
When it comes to Pesach?
Yeah.
Because Pesach, the Iker, understand the Iker point of Pesach is about Achila. The Achila is the focus. We'll see in the next page even more so. Achila is the focus of a Karban Pesach. If it can't be eaten, if the Basar's Tamei, I don't care the status of the Chalav, but if the Basar's Tamei, the Pesach is thrown out the window. You can't do Zrikas Adam anymore.
If there's no Achila, there's no Zrikas, you're saying.
Exactly.
Because Zrika is the face too anyway, so if you can't do the Achila, you can't do Zrika.
If you can't do... Achila is after Zrika.
Achila is after Zrika. Right. Okay. So first you bring the Korban, then the Zrika, then you have the Achila.
Exactly. But if you can't do the ultimate Achila, then the Zrika is pointless. Just don't do
it.
If you can't do the Achila in the end of the day, if you can't eat the Pesach...
Phase three, then why do
Zrika? Exactly. For the Korban Pesach. Okay, says the Gemara now. B'mayo kimta b'tumas basar. So now that we've established... Now this Bryce is referring to Tumas Basar where the flesh becomes Tame. Aim a Seifa. Look at the real Seifa. There's a third step of that Bryce that we spoke of yesterday. It says as follows. Danin davar shlo huta michlalo. Mi davar shlo huta michlalo. We should learn something where there's never a heter. There's never ever a heter. Yeah. There's never ever a heter for an Ariel to eat. When an Ariel is Asr, I mean an Ariel cannot eat the Karban Pesach, there's never a special heter for him. Learn that from Tuma. Learn that from Zman, we're saying right now, where Zman is never mut. You can never eat something that was pigal, something that had an inappropriate Zman. V'al tochiach tumash, but don't learn from Tuma, sharei hutra michalo, because Tuma, there are times when a Tuma is mutter to be eaten.
Can we take a step back and just explain sure. That concept?
Yeah. Hutra michalo means, hutra means mutter, michalo means from the klal, from the rule. So, generally speaking, something's asr. But certain times, huch michalo, sometimes things get permitted. Okay. So, when it comes to, now we're trying to figure out, this is the, back to Bryce, this is the structure. We want to know what's the story of the Ariel. Whether Ariel is going to be mitame the entire guest list. So we have two options. We can either compare it to Zman, which we said, Zman, if I had in mind that kazayas of the basar is going to be pigal, which is inappropriate machshavos, but eating outside of time, if only mixes of that, the entire behemoth will become possible. So either we could compare it to Zman, and therefore say Ariel also mixas kikulo, a little bit of the Ariel will make everybody, or we could take the other track and compare it to Tuma, where we say no, Tuma means only mixas is tamei, but the mixas is not mitame kulo. So if we compare it to Zman, then Ariel will make everyone tamei, will make everybody possible. If we compare it to tamei, it will not make everybody. So which direction are we taking? So at this stage in the Brice, we're saying, well, let's compare it to Zman, because they're both very similar. When an Ariel is Tameh, when the Ariel cannot eat, namely the Karban Pesach, and the Ariel can eat, not eat the Karban Pesach, it's never Hutcher Michlal. There's never a heter from the rule. The rule being an Ariel cannot bring a Karban Pesach, we never find any heter. That's very similar to Zman, where Zman as well. Whenever there's Machshava Zman, a bad Machshava on Zman, it's possible you cannot eat the Karban Pesach, or you cannot eat any Karban. There's never a heter to allow you to eat something that becomes possible because of the Zman. They're both similar in terms of lo hutcher michlal. There's never a heter from the general klal. As opposed to Tameh, where the rule is a Tameh cannot eat, but there is a heter michlal. There are certain instances where we allow a Tameh to eat, and that we'll see in a second. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Thank you. I think that did make it clear. Shkoyach. So, what's this? Gemara wants to know now, Bimai, what type of tumah are we referring to that there is a heter? There are certain times there's a heter to eat hutcher michlal. You could permit it from the general rule. Ilema b'tumas basar. If we want to say tumas basar this way to be consistent with the rest of the brayso thus far, that the rest of the brayso we said is tumas basar. Well, heichi hutra. You never find anywhere that there's ever a heter to eat basar that became tameh. If basar became tameh, it's it. That's it. You cannot eat it. So ela pshita must be betumas gavri referring to. V'heichi hutra michalo. Where do we find that a tumas, where a person becomes tameh, he's allowed to eat the carbon? B'tzibor. So Rashi says, we'll do it later on. When there's the entire tibor is tameh, and the Torah says that they could bring the carbon pesach betuma. Even though all the individuals, or most of the individuals of Klai Yisrael are Tameh, there is a heter to bring the Karban Pesach. Okay. So that's what that's the Hutra Michal referring to. So now the Gemara says, if we're referring to Tumas Gavre, so the Gemara says, Reisha B'Tumas Basar, Sefer B'Tumas Gavre? I don't know. We just established at the beginning of the Brisa from yesterday, is talking about Tumas Basar in the beginning, where part of the meat became Tameh, but not the rest of it. But now all of a sudden we've changed gears. And we said, no, we're now referring to Tumas Gavri, where the individuals became Tameh. So that's inconsistent, like we asked before. Gemara says, in yes, shame Tumah Kaparach. When we ask these questions of maybe you should learn from Zman, maybe you should learn from Tameh, it's okay, we're making comparisons, we're asking questions on general Tumah understandings, even though the Tumah is not quite consistent. One's about the Basar, one's about the person, it's still enough of a, it's close enough to ask questions and bring rayas from that. But then the Gemara says, no, maybe we can make the entire brayso referring to Tumas Basar. It's completely consistent. V'bayis Eima, Kula B'Tumas Basar. No, the entire brayso is referring to Basar. V'heich Hutra, where do we find ever? Never do you find that Tumas Basar is permitted. We do find it. B'Tumas Pesach, when the Karban Pesach becomes Tumas Basar, the Tanan, the Mishnah says, Pesach Haba B'Tumah, when the entire Tzibor is Tameh, you bring the Karban Pesach. Not only can you bring the Karban Pesach, but actually Nechal B'Tumah. You're actually able to eat it, even though the Basar, because when the Kohen brings it, the Kohen's tummy, he then makes the animal tummy. The Baal is able to take it home and eat the Tumas Basar. But this is what we said before, because Shelo Ba Mitchilaso El Lachila. The only reason why we bring the Karban Pesach is for the purpose of eating. That explains what we said earlier, that if the Basar's Tamei, and the Chayav is Kayim, I don't care, you throw it out, because it's all about the Basar. Shelo ba mitchilaso el lachila. That's the whole purpose.
So isn't it Stira?
Why is it a Stira?
Because you said that the whole point of Korban Pesach is Achila. And if the Basar Tamei, you cannot eat it. But here you say you can eat it.
No, so that's what it says. There's a special exception that this is where we find that even though normally Tamei is Asher to be eaten.
So we didn't conclude before. This is the conclusion.
What do you mean?
He says Nechal B'Tumah, Korban Pesach. When the Basar Tameh, it's allowed to be eaten.
I see what you're saying.
And before you said, the whole point is Achila, and if it's Tameh, you throw it out.
Right.
And you cannot do Zrika even.
Right. So, this is the difference. The only time we permit you to eat Korban Pesach B'Tumah is when
Korban is Tameh.
Right. No, only when Rov Tzibor is Tameh. The halacha is as follows. Let's say, when you bring the Karban Pesach on Yud Dal Nisan, so someone who's Tameh, the Pasuk says Tameh o Bederech Rechoka, somebody who's Tameh who can't bring it, or he's too far to make it to the base of Mikdash, those individuals get pushed off, they bring a Pesach Sheni. You have to wait till the next time around, Pesach Sheni. So that's only when individuals become Tameh. But let's say Rove Tzibor, we're going to get to a lot of this later on. Rove Tzibor's Tameh now. You can't find any, Kohanim or Tahor. So then we say you don't push the entire Karban Pesach, the Pesach Sheni for the entire Tzibor. Rather, there's a special Gezer Sekasa. The Pasuk says, Rove Tzibor's Tameh, they could do it Betumah on Pesach Rishon. And when you bring it Betumah Pesach Rishon, then you can eat the Pesach when it's Tameh. It's only when individuals are Tameh, the individuals cannot eat the Karban Pesach Betumah. But when the Tzibor is Tameh, then you can.
So we're talking about Tumah of the Basar or Tumah of the people?
Well, Tumah of the people. But when the Tumah of the people bring the Karban and they touch your Karban, then the Karban becomes Tameh. Oh, and now, then when the Karban is Tameh, then they're allowed to eat it when Rove Tzibor is Tameh.
I understand.
Exactly. Says the Gemara now, Mesiv Rav Huna Braid Rav Yeshua. He asks the following question. HaPesach She'avra Shnaso. The din is, let's look at Rashi, four lines from the top. She'avra Shnaso. Shinolad Eshtaked, he was born yesterday, the Karban Pesach, the goat was born Eshtaked last year. Kodim Rosh Chodesh Nisan, before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, he was born, let's say, Chav Tes Adar. V'frishu L'shem Pesach, he separated for the purpose of Karban Pesach last year, for this year though. V'chimat Rosh Chodesh, when this year's Rosh Chodesh comes, he becomes a year old. V'av Rosh Naso, then he becomes over a year old in the Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The Pesach, you can no longer bring it as a Karban Pesach. The Pasuk says, Zachar Ben Shana. The animal brought for Karban Pesach has to be a male and a year old or less. No more than a year. So therefore, since this is over a year old, so Mimela of a Karli Shlomim, this animal, by definition, since it's too old for Pesach, becomes something that's Roy for Shlomim. Okay. So that, back to the Gemara now. If it's a Pesach, She'avar Shnaso, a Pesach that was over a year old, which is now a Shlomim, basically, V'shachdu b'zmano l'shmo, when I shechted b'zman, I shechted in the right time in Erev Pesach, I shechted on Erev Pesach for the purpose of Pesach, but it's really a Shlomim. V'chein ha-shochet acherim, and I shecht, let's see, other karbanos. L'shem Pesach b'zmano, I shecht you pick any animal, I'll do l'shem Pesach for, on Erev Pesach. What's the din? Rabbi Elazar posel, Rabbi Shua machshir. So Rabbi Elazar says posel here, the Gemara explains why. Why is it possible? Because these animals are basically shlomim. When I have acherim, other types of animals, or I have a Pesach that's over a year old, it's basically a shlomim. And the halacha is shlomim that you shecht an erev Pesach is possible. I know it's getting a little confusing now. Yeshua's machshir, Yeshua says no. These things are kosher. Because look at Rashi. Rashi says Rabbi Yeshua machshir. He quotes in the first Mishnah in Zvachim, the chol Zvachim shenizbechem shalolishman. Any carbon you shecht shalolishma, ksherim is kasher, chutz mi pesach echatas. The only two things that you shecht shalolishma on their puzzle is by shecht a pesach shalolishma and shecht a chatas shalolishma. But these carbonos are not psachim, they're not chatos. These are shlomim in these cases. So in this case of a shlomim, if I shecht shalolishma, because I'm shechting for the purpose of pesach, it's a shlomim. Right now it's a shlomim. I have in mind that the shlomim should be a Pesach. That's going to be kosher. The only time that's going to be possible is a chatas and a Pesach.
Why
but these are shlomim.
The right way to do this, though?
But that's these cases are not issues of people doing like for reasons. Just the Gemara is talking about these.
Oh, I got a cow. Let me just like throw it up there.
And these are not really practical cases. These are the Gemara, the Mishnah, oftentimes talk about very extreme cases. Why they talk about extreme cases? Because looking at extreme cases helps you understand certain fundamental underpinnings of the sugyas. And then you could apply those ideas to more relevant cases.
So we're talking about Korban Pesach right now. And then here's some genius who says, yeah, let me bring some Svachim.
I'm not sure about genius, but... no, again, it's not talking about real practical cases that come up. That's what the Mishnah does.
Yeah.
They talk about extreme cases. So
that's all dogma is about extreme cases.
Yep.
Most rabbis don't put flies in soups, you know. Get right
well, a fly. You could get a fly in a soup, though. It could fall into the soup.
I got a fly in the soup, too, last week.
From Robinson?
No, I'm just saying. It's in the bowl.
Robinson is a bad soup.
Right, yeah.
Just flowing. Happens all the time.
Really?
You ever been in the country?
No.
Okay. Country,
I
wouldn't
like a plague.
Remember, Brazil says, if you have a glass of water in the country, you have to look every time before you drink it.
Sure. You have a glass of what?
Oh, anything. Soda, water, juice.
Yeah.
Flies all over. Bugs all over.
Wow.
It's not extreme.
I've seen this. Not the biggest deal.
You'll join me in
Bushville
next summer.
No.
Okay, so it says the Gemara now. Again, this is a complicated kasha. We'll try to get through it. We're running out of time. We'll try to get through it quickly, this kasha. We'll understand it as best as possible. So the Gemara says, "Taima bismano." Only reason why this is a kasha that is possible according to Rabbi Elazar because he shechted bismano, which means Erev Pesach. Hoshlo bismano kasha, but if he shechted it when it wasn't in the right time, the rest of the year it would be kasher, even according to Rabbi Eliezer. But my, why is this true? Name a whole bismano posel say as follows: since when you shechted on Erev Pesach bismano it's posel. So you should say also say shelo bismano nai posel. Say when you shechted when it's not in the right time, it's also going to be posel. So this is a kasha to Rav Chista. Rav Chista says we say hoil l'chumra. Remember, so Rav Chista had two cases. One case he didn't say hoil, one case he did say hoil. And we said Rav Chista really says we don't apply hoil. But when hoil will turn into chumra, he will apply hoil. So here you could employ hoil. Say hoil, according to Rabbi Elazar, only says pasul bismano, but shelo bismano, he says kasher. So why don't you say, according to Rav Chista, say hoil? Hoil, during bismano it's pasul, also say shelo bismano, also pasul. That's the kasha to Rav Chista. So, well, not kosher game, but it's at least a hoyel. So it's a kasha to Rav Chista. Why don't you apply hoyel here, l'chumra? So Amar Papa, shiny hasam, there it's different. Damar kra v'amartam zevach pesach hu. Hu bav yaso. Here, this case is different. Pasuk says, pesach hu. Has to be dafka pesach. Hu bav yaso. It as it is. Lo hu l'shem achem. Not a pesach went for the other purposes, for other things. Lo achem l'shmol. And not other things for the purpose of Pesach. Bismano shu pasul. Bisman when Pesach is pasul. L'shem acherim when you shech the Pesach for other things like shalmim, it's going to be pasul. So then acherim psulim l'shmol. Then if you shech shalmim for the purpose of Pesach, it's going to be pasul as well. But shelo bismano when it's not the right time, shu kasher l'shem acherim. If I shech the Pesach the rest of the year for the purpose of shalmim, it's going to be actually kasher. So then acherim k'sheim l'shmol. Then there shalmim. Shech that for Pesach, the rest of the year will be kosher also. Okay, a little confusing, but we'll leave it at that. Here's some slight agata for you. I know you like this. A little bit of agata. I know you might like the agata.
Finally.
A little bit. But only a little bit. So just says the Gemara. Rav Samlai also, don't get too excited. Rav Samlai also, Rav Samlai went in front of Rav Yochanan and says as follows. Amar lei nisni li mar sefer yuchsin. Please bring to me the sefer yuchsin. What is sefer yuchsin? So Sefer Yuchsin, the Gemara, Rashi tells us, Sefer Yuchsin is further down the line in the Rashi. One line, he says, Sefer Yuchsin, Masnisa de Divrei Hayamim. Masnisa, like we said yesterday, Mishnayos, Brises, Midrashim, all these things, Tanaic statements, all about Divrei Hayamim. Please teach it to me. Now the Marsha points out, why does he say, Sefer Yuchsin, Pasha says, Yichus. It's a reference to, show me the, teach me all the different family trees of which Mishpachos have Yichus, which ones don't. That's what Rashi should have interpreted. Why Rashi say it refers to Divrei Yom? So he says, Marsha explains, the Gemara Kedushin is once every seven years, they taught the Sefer Yuchsin. The Chacham taught the Tamidim, the Sefer Yuchsin. Know that these families come from Yichas, are part of, have good heritage, and these do not. Once every 7 years, they taught this. And the Gemara we're about to see is that Bruria learned this for 3 years in a row. So this could not be Sefer Yuchsin that the Gemara in Kedushin refers to, because that was once every 7 years. This was learned too frequent by Bruria, so therefore this can't be Sefer Yuchsin as we know it of family trees. Rather, it means Sefer Yuchsin, Divrei Yomim. Why is Divrei Yomim first to Sefer Yuchsin? I assume because Divrei Yomim basically is a summary. Divrei Yomim is in the Ksuvim. It's a summary of what took place in the Lada Nevi'im. It's and shows all the lineage of the different Melachim, the kings, and so on and so forth. Therefore, probably is referred to as Sefer Yuchsin. So again, Rav Samlai went to Rabbi Yochanan and wanted to learn, please bring to me this Sefer Yuchsin and teach me all about Divrei Hayamim. So Amar Lei, Mehechanat, where you come from? Rav Samlai, tell me where you come from. Amar Lei, Milud, I come from Lud, that's where I grew up. Vehechan Mosavcha, where do you live now? Benahardai, I live in Nahardai. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Amar Lei, Ein Nidonin, we have the following klal. Ein Nidonin, lo Liludim, lo Linhardam. We don't teach you guys come from Lud, and those who come from Nardai, Vekolshkein Da'at, and certainly you, Milud, Umisavcha Benhardai, you both, you came from Lud, and Mosavcha Benhardai, and you live there.
You live in the airport.
Right. So we don't teach you, that's the klal. So why, what kind of klal is that? So Rashi writes, Ein Shonen Sefer Yuchsin Lo Luludin Vechulei, Lidchuyin Lichabin. He wanted to just push him off. He didn't want to teach him. Whatever reasons he had, it wasn't a real klal, we don't teach people from Lud, we don't teach people from Nardai. He just wanted to get him off his back.
We lied.
White light, white light.
I hear that. Good question. I don't know. There is a there's a Gemara in Bava Metzia that says there are three things you're allowed to lie about. So one of the things is
tell me what it is.
Yeah.
Shovel by.
Three things. No, that's where Yivamos talks about that. But the Gemara in Bava Metzia says three things you are allowed to lie about. One is about Puria, which is marital relations, what goes on in the bedroom. One thing is what?
Hesped.
Not a hesped.
To exaggerate.
That's the Gemara in Mokad that says you cannot exaggerate. You can exaggerate a little bit, but not too much. The three things you can lie. One of them is about Masechta. I'm forgetting the third thing now. Masechta. There's a third thing, I don't know why I'm not remembering now, about you're allowed to lie them, but the one of them is Masechta. You're allowed to lie about Masechta. Why are you allowed to? What does that mean? So if somebody asks you, do you learn a certain Masechta? You can say, no, I didn't learn it. Why? Because if you say you learned it, they can start bombarding with questions and bother you so much with questions, so you're allowed to lie about Masechta. So this might fall into that category, since he was trying to bother him to teach him some Torah, so therefore he's able to lie. That might be one of the exceptions. I didn't see anybody say this, but L'chora, that might be what's going on. Then Rashi says, another interpretation is, Lashon Achrina Lefisha Einam Yuchasim. Now the reason why he said this is because Lud and Hardai, they didn't have Yichas. So he didn't want to teach someone who didn't have Yichas what the Yichas is and say, you're not part of that family tree, you're not part of that lineage. So he didn't have to, this was a real klal that you didn't teach these individuals from these places, since they didn't come from Yichas, you cannot pass the Yichas to them. Either not to make them feel bad, or who knows, it could be about not making them feel bad, or maybe that you don't trust them with the Sefer Yuchasim since they themselves don't have Yichas.
There's the damaging information concerning their yichus, Marsha.
So it's more like you don't want to make them feel bad, I guess?
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to make them feel bad.
Okay.
Because you have in a room, everybody has yichus, and you have like two guys in that
right. Got nothing. Yushalmi said, because as we'll see in a moment, it seems like Rav Samlai was quite a balgaiva. The gas is rach. And place people who came from these places of Lud and Hardai had that reputation of being a Baal Gaiva. Mm-hmm. So the Baal Gaiva, he didn't want to pass on this. There's a Masorah. You don't pass Sefer Yuchsin to Baal Gaiva.
You want to feed into it.
So that's what the Yushalmi says. So what happened? So Kafya V'Arta, he basically forced him, coerced him, convinced him to teach him the Sefer Yuchsin. So Amarlei, Nisni B'Gimel Yarchi, please just teach me, give me, I want 3 months. 3 months to learn Sefer Yuchsin. 3 months, so I'll sit and learn with you, Rabbi Yochanan, and you'll teach me Sefer Yuchsin. Shakal Kala, Pasuk Bay. He took a Kala. Rashi says, is then Rashi Muta, to tell you what Muta is, I think a rock. Reinachas is an Evan, and I think Rivan says it means a mound of dirt. Dirt and rock he threw at him. Rabbi Yochanan threw at him. So he said, I don't understand what you're doing here. Amar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan says to him, Uma Bruya, Bruya Duvesa, who the Rebbe Meir, who's the wife of Rebbe Meir, and Barsa, the Rebchinina Bar Tiden, and the daughter of Rebchinina, quite Yichas she has. The Tanya, the Brisa says, Tlas Mea Shmaitza Bioma. She learned 300 sugyas in one day. Migimo Mea Rabosa from 300 different Rabbanim. Vafilohacha Lo Yatsa Yidechavasa Bitlashanim. And even she didn't learn Sefer Yuchas in less than 3 years. So she learned for every single day 300 sugyas for 3 years. And you want to learn this in 3 months? Are you kidding me? Vad Amra, it's exactly. Bitlasa Yarchin? So Ben Yoyada wants to know, why did Dafka throw a kala? Why did he throw this kala, this thing called a kala, which is a rock or a dirt, at Rav Simlai? So Ben Yoyada says, the gematria of kala is anava. Clearly, Rav Simlai lacked anivas. He came from Lu, like the Yerushalmi says. He's the guy says, Ruach, I'm not saying this, this is the Ben Yoyada saying this, but he wanted to learn Sefer Yuchs in 3 months. Who learned in 3 months? That's impossible. What kind of Baal Gaiva are you? So the kala had the gematria of anava to remind them about anivas. According to the Rivan, who says he threw an offer, anirak offer ve'efer, offer is a reference of dirt. I'm nothing, I'm dirt. That's also a symbol of anivas. So now, the Mefarshim want to understand, how is Bruri able to learn Torah? The Isser, it's an Isser to lelamed bito Torah. You can't teach, teaching a daughter Torah is like teaching them tiflis, like teaching them stupidity. It's pointless, the Mishnah and Sota says. How is Bruri's father able to teach her Torah? So, first opinion says that maybe her father held like Ben Azai. Ben Azai actually permits a father to teach a daughter Torah. Alternatively, but I don't get this one, that she learned on her own. On her own, she's allowed to. But the Gemara, I thought, said she learned from 300 different Rabbanim, so I'm not sure how that means she learned on her own. Maybe she sat in the back of a shir, the shir was given to some other man, she snuck in the back and she happened to hear on her own. I'm not quite sure.
This is very uncalled though. I once went out of this community for a Daf Yomi shir, and Rabbi spoke about it once also, who I remember. It was Daf Yomi, and it was very uncomfortable, so it was a big long table. And this woman, but it's got right behind me, Daf Yomi. I tell you, I couldn't learn the whole time. I felt so strange. And it's like,
I've seen that a couple of times.
It throws you off.
Right.
Someone that's not used to it.
It's right. I'm a member, thing.
Yeah. No, remember Rabbi said, like, there was a rough amount of town that called them. And they gave a shear, and they said, this is Ben Shear. This one woman, like, came like a lachas. You can't really.
Hard to deal with that, right?
Shear, right?
What?
There's no woman that's in the shear, right?
I have no idea. I mean, no, you don't get a log of who listens or doesn't. I don't know.
You have to have a clickable metric,
man. Men only. Okay. Says the Gemara, Kishak of Alze, when after they're having this argument whether you should teach me Sefer Yuchas or not teach me Sefer Yuchas, and Amalei Rebbe, so Samai finally says, Rebbe, Rebbe Yochanan, Ma bein l'shmo v'shalo l'shmo, v'shalo v'shalo. What's the difference? When it comes to Karim Pesach, back to that mission we saw a couple, a few daf away, something that you have in mind, l'shmo, and Shalolishmo, that disqualifies the Karban Pesach. But if it's a guest list of L'Ochlov, people who could eat, and a guest list of Shalolachlov, people who can eat, that's okay. Why is L'Shma and Shalolishmo, both of them together, problem? L'Ochlov, Shalolachlov together, okay. Amalei, Hol V'Turban Mirabonat. Since I see, Yochanan says, since I see they actually are Tamil Chacham, you ask this question, you're Chacham. Ta, Ein Malacha, I'll explain to you. L'shmo b'shelo l'shmo, psula b'gufo, those are inherent psulim to the actual behema, and that's why it's disqualified when you have both of them. L'ochlov b'shelo ochlov, ein psula b'gufo. When people on the guest list, that's not inherent to the behema, that's external, that's why it does not disqualify. Shelo l'shmo, sorry, l'shmo b'shelo l'shmo, if shelo v'ara yisuro, there's no way to be mevara, which part is l'shmo, which part is shelo l'shmo, that's impossible to be mevara, that's why the entire behema is asur. You could figure out who is part of the guest list who could eat, who's part of the guest list who can't eat. Therefore, it's more makel. L'shmo v'shlo l'shmo yesh medala avodos. These are concepts that the shema apply to all four avodos. Therefore, more machmir. L'ochlo v'shlo l'ochlo v'ena barba avodos. It only applies to the zrika. Sorry, to the shechita. L'shmo v'shlo l'shmo yesh metzibur b'kibyachim. The shema also applies to karban al-tzibur. However, la'achlav shlo la'achlav ain't a betzibur k'biyachid. Does not apply to karbanos tzibur. What comes out here right now, this line is la'achlav shlo la'achlav applies to karban pesach, and the Gemara says here it does not apply to karban tzibur. The implication is that karban pesach is not a tzibur. Karban tzibur. Again, we say la'achlav shlo la'achlav ain't a betzibur k'biyachid. It does not apply to karban tzibur. It only applies to karban yachid. Where does la'achlav apply? It applies to one karban pesach. So Mimela, we see Karban Pesach is a Karban Yachid. Many places in Shas, we see Karban Pesach is actually a Karban Tzibur. You have two different places, two different indications. Sometimes it's a Karban Tzibur, sometimes it's a Karban Yachid. Let's just get to the end, I'll go back to that in a second, tell you a few shitas on that idea. Rav Ashi Amar Psul Bagufo, V'yef Shalavari, Yisur Achad Milsahi. Those are not two different things. The fact that it's Psul Bagufo, that's inherently possible to the animal, that Lishma is inherently possible, and you cannot be Mevar the issue, you can't figure out where's the Lishma, where's the Shalom Lishma, that's really the same point. The Ma Tam Amar, Psul Begufa, what's the reason why Lishma is a Psul Beguf, inherently to the animal? Mishum De'ef Shalavar Isur, because you can't figure out which part of the animal is Lishma, which part of the animal is Shalom Lishma, Mimela, it becomes a Psul Begufa. That's all Ravashi's pointing out. And Amar Rami by Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Miyom Shenikna Sefer Yuchsin, from the day that the Sefer Yuchsin that we're explaining according to Rashi is the Midrashim and Divrei Yomim, the day that was nignaz, it was hidden, it was put away, Tashash Kochach Shechachamim. The Koach, the strength of Chachamim became weak. The Chiha Me'or Inayim, and their eyes became weaker also, their eyesight. Armar Zutra, Bein Eitel Eitel, Tina Dal Me'a Gamle Didarsha. What does that mean? Rashi, bottom line says, Me'etel Eitel, Shnei Mikrolsein, the Tutim Sukkim. Uparsha Gedol Benam, the two different psukim, and there's a large parsha in between these two psukim that begin with the Eitzel. Ula Eitzel Shesha Banim, the Kachashi V'Azah Banim, V'Sefer the Parshasa Eilu Bnei Eitzel. So there are two different psukim about it. So to be Dorish, these psukim of Eitzel to Eitzel, well, the connection between the two and the parsha that interrupts them, you would require Tiina Dal Me'agamle to load on the backs of camels 400 camels of, I think, of material to write all the drushes that you can make from this Eitzel to Eitzel. So you see how weak the Chachamim came from all the tircha needed to put together to bring back all the drushes that was contained in Sefer Yochsin. Okay, so before we stop here, I'll just tell you quickly. We said the Gemara implied that the carbon Pesach was a carbon yachid. Many places in Shas it says it's a carbon yachid. Many other places it says it's a carbon tzibur. So the Rivan writes that no, the Pesach is two dinim. Certain time it has both aspects. It has aspects of carbon tzibur. It has aspects of carbon yachid. Tosin Yuma defines it a little bit better, a little bit differently, but he says as follows: really, a carbon Pesach is a carbon yachid be'etem, but it has one aspect of a carbon tzibur. In that, a carbon tzibur is able to be docha Shabbos and docha tumah. A carbon tamid, which is a carbon tzibur, can be brought in Shabbos, must be brought in Shabbos, and also if rov tzibur is tamid, you can bring a carbon tzibur betumah. So those two dinim is what's shared by carbon Pesach, that even though carbon yachid is brought by individuals only, it can be docha Shabbos and tumah, in that it's like a carbon tzibur, that can be docha those two, but it's not, in fact, it's only a carbon yachid. Okay, so we'll stop here.